This podcast is a ministry of Oriel Christian Assembly in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit our website at www.orielchristianassembly.org.
I'll show you the video today about what we're going to look at here. It says, we have just concluded the World Summit in defense of persecuted Christians in Washington, D.C. This was in Washington, which is a blessing. It was a powerful and moving event with over 600 participants from 136 countries. That's who came to this summit. It was delegates included church leaders from all over the world and advocates for the persecuted, as well as victims of persecution who shared personal accounts of the horrors they have suffered because they bear the name of Christ. Yes, we saw Vice President Mike Pence address the summit on the second day, speaking from his heart to those in the audience and around the world who brave hostility, harm, and loss for their obedience to our Lord and Savior. Your faith inspires me. It humbles me. This is what he said, Vice President Pence. Then he spoke with words unlike anything heard in Washington in recent memory. I'm here on the behalf of the President of the United States as a tangible sign of his commitment to defending Christians and, frankly, all who suffer for their beliefs across the wider world. This is what he said. He says, I have known Vice President Pence for some time, and I am grateful for his own firm faith. He's a true Christian, our Vice President. We stand with you, he said. The Bible tells us that all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And those gathered here are emblematic of millions across the world. It is not easy for people living in America to wrap our minds around what many of our brothers and sisters in Christ must endure in some other countries. A woman in America who followed reports on the summit wrote us afterward, thank you for bringing this issue to everyone's attention. Living in my little bubble in the U.S., I had no idea things were this bad all over the world. During the summit, I met and talked with a woman from Iran whose father was hanged to death because of his faith. Can you imagine that? I spent time with two other men whose brothers were among the Coptic Christians, marched out on the beach in Libya and viciously beheaded by ISIS for refusing to deny Christ. Then a video distributed for all the world to see. Remember that? I met a dear pastor from Uzbekistan, who was arrested and imprisoned for 4 years for proclaiming the gospel. A delegate from Mexico, a nation right next door to our own, was repeatedly beaten, his church burned, and people from the congregation made to walk barefoot over broken glass as they were forced to leave town at gunpoint. Wow. See, we don't hear things like that that we have to go through. The stories go on and on. Today, believers in many countries face persecution and martyrdom on an unprecedented scale. In fact, throughout the world, the number of Christians facing hostility, maltreatment, and even death is greater than any time in history. Here's the last part. An organization that monitors and tracks persecution estimates, now listen to this, that 215 million Christians experienced high or extreme levels of persecution last year in the 50 countries where it is most difficult to be a follower of Jesus Christ. 215 million. Can you imagine that number? That's as many people as two-thirds of the entire population of the United States. Of those persecuted, tens of thousands die. It is not possible to know exactly how many, but some researchers report 90,000 or more in the past year have died for the cause of Christ. So, those are some pretty amazing things that we read about that are not good as far as what? Persecuted Christians. It's happening all around the world. Maybe not as much in America. We are facing some, but not like other countries. So we're going to show you this video now. I hope that they got it together back there. And you're going to see again Brother Franklin Graham for a few moments. And then the majority of what we're going to watch is the Vice President speaking to all those people in attendance and to us today. Such a blessing. You're gonna be blessed to hear. This is our Vice President, a born-again, faith-believing, firm Christian. Our Vice President, I believe, a future president to come. Amen. So if we're ready in the back, we're going to go ahead and show this video. Then I will come back and share a few thoughts with you to wrap up the service. Okay? So we can hit the lights and hopefully they're having no trouble getting this to work. Amen. That encouraged me. Did that encourage you today? It's sad to hear what persecution is going around. But to know that we have an administration that was represented here by the Vice President, all the things he said really blesses me. I can't remember a time where we spoke about Jesus so openly like right there. Amen? I mean, he's a man of God. And he backs up the President, and our President believes in God, as he said. So we're thankful today for the administration that we voted in. Amen? That's what we voted in. So be thankful for what has happened. Amen. So with all that we've seen, I want to share just a few thoughts with you. I won't be long to bring, again, perspective to us as we are in a time of Thanksgiving that, yes, you know, so many are persecuted. And we are at times, probably not like what we've heard today, but we do all deal with persecution in some way or fashion or form. But even though we're persecuted, you know, we need to be thankful today. Amen? And that's my title for this little short message, is Persecuted but Thankful. Amen? And we shouldn't be surprised. I'm going to read you a few verses here. I'll try to get through this quickly. In Matthew 5, I'm just going to bring some thoughts first about persecution and then some thoughts about thankfulness. Okay. You need time? Is that what we're saying? Okay. In Matthew 5, we're going to look at a few verses. You should be familiar with all these verses, but just refreshing for us today. First of all, about persecution. In Matthew 5, we're going to look at verses 10 to 12, if you would. And I'm coming out of the King James. It says here in verse 10, this is the Beatitudes, of course, beautiful passage of Scripture. It says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you," and it's happening, "and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Says, we're to do what? Rejoice. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So today we have to understand, you know, God says we're blessed if we're persecuted. Amen. God is watching over us, America and the countries of the world and those who suffer persecution. We're not being persecuted for us. We're being persecuted for the cause of Christ. Amen? For His name. The Bible says, we read it here, that we're blessed if we're persecuted for what? Righteousness' sake. Amen. For righteousness' sake, right? For the gospel's sake. For Jesus' sake, all right? But we're blessed because God says the kingdom is ours. Amen? If we're standing in a gap, if we're doing what we're called to do as Christians, you know what? God has our back, and one day we will be in the kingdom of heaven. We're part of the kingdom now, but we will actually walk in it one day, okay? We're to have an attitude of of being able to rejoice even when things get hard, when we get persecuted sometimes. God tells us here that we're not to complain or be frustrated or, you know, downtrodden. He says, do what? The opposite. Rejoice. Amen. And be exceeding glad, for what? We have a great reward waiting us. Amen. One day God is going to reward us, those who were persecuted. And he tells us here to remember the prophets were persecuted before us. Amen. Many have been persecuted. In the Old Testament, we can read over and over again of the persecution that God's people went through. So they did. They persecuted the prophets. How many know today, not only did they persecute the prophets, we go to John chapter 15. This is Jesus when he was speaking to the church, to his disciples. Look what he says here in John 15:20. He says, remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, meaning Jesus, right? He says, they've persecuted me. He says, they will also persecute you. We shouldn't be surprised today. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So, not only did they persecute the prophets of old, they persecuted Jesus. How many know that? He had a lot of persecution, and it was sad because it was who? The religious ones of that day really persecuted him. The ones who should have known him, right? Who should have known better, who should have applauded him and received him. The church of that day, those who were quote-unquote religious, you know. It's not about being religious today. How many know that? It's about following the Lord, amen? Following His Word. You know, religion in man's eyes doesn't work, okay? Christianity works, right? We follow Jesus. Our righteousness, we can't make it. And that's the way religion is today. There's a lot of self-righteousness taught, right? This is how I get to heaven. I have to do this and do this and do this. How many know our righteousness is not good? It's as filthy rags, the Bible says, right? So we know the way to heaven is through Christ, right? So they persecuted Jesus. They're going to persecute us, okay? Because we stand for the truth. Go with me to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, I was so blessed. The vice president quoted a lot of scripture. Did you realize that? He knows the Bible. Did you see that? He looks like a pastor to me. How about you? He could be a pastor. I mean, he actually is, in a sense, in a political sense, he's like a pastor, right? God has him way up there with President Trump to really pastor the United States. Think about it today. Pretty neat. But this is our vice president. In 2 Timothy 3, let's look at a few verses, 10 through 12. Again, I'm talking about persecution for a few moments. It says in verse 10, it says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. This is Paul talking about himself. The manner of life that he lived, right? My purpose, my faith, my long suffering, my charity, my patience. Look at verse 11. This is again Paul, his example and experiences. He says, my persecutions, right? My afflictions. That's part of persecutions, right? Afflictions. Which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra. He says, Paul is saying, what persecutions I endured. I mean, Paul went through much for me and you today, right? Paul, the greatest apostle I believe ever, right? He was the apostle of the church, amen? He says, this is all that I went through, all my persecutions I endured. But listen to this, and this should be of encouragement to you and I today. It says, but out of them all, somebody say all today. He says, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Amen. When we go through hard times, we go through persecutions, we can have the same faith and know today that as God delivered Paul through all his persecutions, he will be there for me and you to deliver us from our difficult things that we go through, from persecution when it may come. Okay, verse 12, and this is one that the vice president spoke to us in his message today. It says in verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly. That's us today, amen. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Suffer persecution. Okay? Those who live godly, that's us. Amen. That's the Christian. That's the believers today. The born again believers, right? Who try to live godly in Jesus, right? He says all of us in some way, shape, or form, we're going to suffer some kind of persecution along the way. But I don't think we're seeing anything like what we've heard from other countries, that many are actually dying for the cause of Christ, okay? So, today we need to understand God will deliver us, and we need to understand that persecution is just part of the Christian life to some point, okay? It's just part of the Christian life. Some endure more persecution, others have to endure less. Everybody is different, right? It depends where you live. And again, today I want you to be thankful and realize that we have so much freedom in the United States of America. Amen? And that we have freedom to go to church, right? To pick what church we want to go to. No one is telling us, you know, you can do this and you can't do that, and so on and so forth. God has blessed America with freedom. Amen? Freedom to be who God has called us to be. So we really must be thankful today about that as we celebrate this week, Thanksgiving. And I want you to realize here today, if you don't know already, that really God wants us to have a spirit of thanksgiving. That was a little weak. I'm going to say it again. God really wants us to have a spirit of thanksgiving. Okay? It's really, if I can break it down a little bit, it's an attitude of thanksgiving that we must all have. It's an attitude that you must take up in your life, that you are thankful for what God has blessed you with every day. Okay? It's actually a life that we live out, a life of thanksgiving. Last week we talked about a life of faith. Well, it's actually, for the Christian today, it's a life of faith and thanksgiving that we live. Okay? But you have to make a decision every day to thank God. Okay? It's a decision you make. That yes, Lord, I will be thankful. I'm going to live a life of thanksgiving. And here's the key. Regardless of our circumstances. Can I get an amen? And that's where the challenge comes in. Because sometimes our circumstances may not be good. And even outright bad. But even in those circumstances, God will help us to be thankful, okay? Regardless of the difficult times and the difficult circumstances that sometimes we go through. And everyone sees it sometime or another, okay? Some, again, more than others. I can't really bring it any better than if we look at today, Psalm 100. I just want to read this psalm to you. It actually was sung earlier. That was confirmation when I saw them sing the song. Because everything in that, it's Psalm 100, we sang about, and it's in here. It's really how we can be thankful today, what God expects of us as we celebrate Thanksgiving this week and today. Amen. Psalm 100 really gives us the way to do it. It's an exhortation to us how we're to praise the Lord. I want to just read it to you, okay? It says this, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. How many know today, unless you're thankful, you can't make a joyful noise. It won't work. Amen. You have to have joy. You have to have happiness inside for you to do what? Bring a joyful noise to the Lord. To sing unto the Lord. And the Lord expects us to do what? Serve Him how? Complaining and murmuring and not being thankful. No, we have to serve Him, He says here, how with gladness. Amen. And if you're glad, you're thankful today. Can I get an amen? You have to be glad, right? It goes together today. When you're glad, you're going to be thankful. Automatic. It goes one with another. Verse 3, Know you that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Amen. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Are we not today? Amen. We got to realize today that, you know what? He is God. And just for that fact alone, we honor Him today for who He is. And He's God. And we need to realize that, you know what? We need to be thankful that we know Him today. Many people don't know God like me and you do. We have a relationship with God. God has given us revelation to know Him. Many live this life not knowing who God is, but we know Him today. We should be thankful about that today. We're His people. We're the sheep of His pasture. Verse 4, enter into His gates. How? With thanksgiving. When we come to church, God says, don't come pouting. Don't come murmuring. Don't come complaining. He says what? Enter into His house, His gates, His sanctuary with thanksgiving. Amen. See, God wants to hear us. He wants to hear our thanksgiving. Amen. He says, and come into His courts, how with praise. We have to praise God when we come here. Amen. Sure, we come and we give our prayer to God. We ask God to help us. And that's part of what we do. God knows that. He wants to hear your prayer, right? He wants to know what you're struggling with. But first and foremost, when we come here, it's to do what? It's to thank Him. Amen. We come to thank the Lord, right? We come to praise Him in His courts, right? He says, and into His courts with praise we need to come. We need to be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Again, unless you are thankful, you won't bless His name. It don't work. Okay? So that's how important today we see thanksgiving is. He actually tells us four times in this verse that we got to be thankful. He just says it differently, right? He says, enter His courts with thanksgiving, one, and then come into His courts with praise. Praise is a form of thanksgiving today. How many know that? Amen. Then He says it again, be thankful, number three. And then He says, bless His name. It's another way to say be thankful. When you bless His name, you're thankful today. Amen. Four times in the one verse, verse 4. Verse 5, for the Lord is good. Can I get an amen? For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting. Right? And all His truth endured to all generations. Why should we be thankful? Because the Lord is good today. Amen. He's good to His people. He's faithful to us. Amen. And His mercy is everlasting. Wow. Everlasting. Is our mercy like that? I don't think so. But His mercy is everlasting, right? It's there for me and you. We should be thankful for that. And we should be thankful for His truth. Because it endures to all people, all generations today, to us. It's the truth that we can stand with today. Amen. So we see here how God expects us, amen, to be thankful, right? A couple more verses before we wrap up today. In 1 Thessalonians, you know these verses, some more than others you know strongly. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it tells us this, that, I'll just read it. In everything, somebody say everything. In everything, give thanks. I know that can be a challenge sometimes. But in everything, give thanks for what? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me. Amen. Everything. Right? He makes it real clear. It's God's will today in everything that we have what? A spirit of thanksgiving. It didn't say here, give thanks when things are good only. And you know you're going to do that automatically, right? You should, when things are good, you should really be thankful. It's more easier maybe to do. But no, he says in all things or in everything, because this is what? A way of life that we need to live. Living a life of thanksgiving. It really makes your life better, praise God, if I can say that to you. It does. You know what? Your life is smoother. It's you appreciate life when you have thanksgiving in your heart, right? When you have appreciation for the good things that God has given to you. It's a life of faith and it's a life of thanksgiving that we live, that God expects from us. The same thing is in Ephesians 5:20, but we won't go there for time's sake. I have just a couple more verses. In Colossians 1, this is a real good passage that I felt we should go to. Colossians 1. I hope I'm just encouraging you a little bit today that you be thankful. Okay, it's Colossians 1:12, not 4:12. Amen, Brother Ramel. Colossians 1:12-14. So just a couple verses here. But again, this is some things we can be thankful for that it tells us here. In verse 12 of chapter 1 of Colossians, it says, giving thanks unto the Father. See, today we're to give thanks to God our Father. Why should we? Well, he tells us here, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Today, me and you can be thankful for our spiritual inheritance. For our spiritual heritage that we have in Christ today. We should be thankful to God for that. I hope you are today. Your roots are in Jesus. Amen. Your spiritual heritage is in Jesus and in the Father, right? In the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, why should we be thankful? I'll give you some more reasons. He says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness? Today you should be thankful. You've been delivered. Can I get an amen? From darkness. All of us. The power of darkness doesn't hold us anymore. Amen. God has what? Delivered us from evil. Amen. From Satan, from his power of darkness that he has in the world. You know, he's still out there, but he doesn't control us anymore. How many know that? He doesn't control you. Jesus does, right? Our life is hid in Christ today. So we should be thankful every day that Jesus came and delivered us from darkness. That's special today, amen? No more darkness, right? He says he's translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. It's another reason we can be thankful today. We have been what? Delivered from darkness. And Jesus, what? He translated us into his kingdom. The kingdom of God through what? The Son. It's because of the Son we are now in the kingdom of God. So we should be thankful for that. We have salvation. We have entrance into God's kingdom today. Amen. And you didn't earn it today. I didn't earn it. We can't earn it. It's by faith. Amen. It doesn't stop there. Verse 14. He says, another reason why we should be thankful, in whom we have redemption through his blood. How many are blessed today? You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And the word of your testimony, right? We can be thankful today. We have what? Redemption. We have been redeemed because of the blood of Jesus. Again, not because of what we've done, because of his blood, right? His blood brings us cleansing, right? He says another reason that goes with it, through the blood, what happens? It says even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Today, me and you, we should be thankful that we have forgiveness for our sins. Amen. Past, present, and even future. How about that? Even for things that you might do in the future, right? Whatever might happen that is not good, right? That maybe we make mistakes, because we do sometimes, right? God says, you know what? You should be thankful today for what? You have forgiveness of your sins. Amen. We have salvation, right? We have eternity with God. Praise God. So, lots of good things here we can look at that we can be thankful for. But I just want to close with this part here is, how can I receive all this? Because maybe you're here today and maybe you don't feel like you're in the right place with God. Okay? I don't think we have any brand new visitors here today. I didn't ask because I didn't think I saw any. But still, even for us here today, I'm going to just say it quickly here. How can we receive this? Well, I want to turn to Romans. This will be our last set of verses, Romans chapter 10. And then we're going to have the ladies come back up, and I want to sing that song, Thank You, Lord. Amen. That was a blessing, that new song we learned today. But in Romans 10, it tells us, how do we receive all these blessings today? Amen. How do we receive all these good things that we've been talking about that we can be thankful for? Right? In Romans 10, we're going to look at verses 9 to 13. This is how we receive salvation and all the benefits of salvation today. It's right here in a nutshell. Maybe someone needs to do this today. If you do, we're going to give you opportunity. It says in verse 9, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you'll believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. How much simpler can it be for us today, right? Again, it's not what we do, it's what Jesus did on the cross, right? And all we got to do here today is, number one, we have to believe in our heart in Jesus. See, it can't just be a head knowledge. It's got to be in your heart. Amen. You got to believe in Jesus in your heart. And then because you believe, you got to do what? You got to use your mouth to confess Him. Right? Confess Christ. Say, I believe in Christ. Amen. He tells us, verse 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. See, you can only do it with your heart when it's genuine, it's real today. That you say, I believe in you, Jesus. Amen. With my heart, you believe unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. See, you got to speak it today. If you haven't, you got to say, yes, Jesus is my Savior today. Jesus is my Lord. You have to speak it. You have to confess with your mouth, right? See, you can't be like what we're going to read next. It says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. See, you can't be ashamed of Jesus today. Who's with me? You got to be proud of Him. You got to be thankful for Him, right? He did it all for us. So sometimes we see Christians who are weak and don't want to confess or tell people, I'm sorry, I'm a Christian, I can't do what you're doing. We can't be that way, amen? We can't be wishy-washy in our faith, amen? We have to be what? Proud of the Lord. We have to speak for the Lord. We have to use our mouth to glorify Him, amen? He says in verse 12, for there's no difference between who? The Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. See, it don't matter what nationality you are today, what country you're from, if you're a Jew or not. Amen. Because we all can call on the name of the Lord and be saved. He's waiting for everyone to call upon Him. He's rich to those who call upon Him. He says in verse 13, for whosoever shall call. See, you got to call if you haven't done it yet. Today can be your day. You got to call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Amen. That's a beautiful thing to say that. I'm saved. Say, what are you saved from? Death. Amen. From sin, right? From poverty, right? From destruction. I'm saved. I can go on and on. That's what you mean when you're saved. You're saved from going to hell. Can I get an amen? That should make us happy today and thankful, right? I'm saved from the punishment of hell that I should really go to. I should. That's what I deserve, but I don't get that because of Jesus today. Amen. So I want to pray with you for a moment here today before we sing. Would you stand with me? Praise God. I want to do two things in prayer before we sing to close the service and we go downstairs. Is number one, I want to give opportunity. Maybe someone says, I need to really walk with God today. Okay? I haven't asked for quite a while. This is a great day to do it. I'm going to ask if there's someone who needs to pray this prayer of just confessing Christ. Okay? I want to give you that opportunity. And then number two, as we saw this video about persecuted Christians, we want to pray for the church, for Christians who are being persecuted throughout the world. We want to pray for them, that God would help them, watch over them. And not only pray for them, but pray for those who are doing the persecuted, that they would change. Amen. That God would get their attention and they would repent and get right with God. We need to pray for that today. Amen. So I want you to close your eyes with me. Amen.